The cheese is cold. So, old cheese, Shaq. And the chips are stale.
Come on, man.
And the thing is, you know, some place to get you good nachos, they put jalapenos. The sun's be putting pickles on it.
Come on, guys.
How about the parking over there, Chuck?
Yeah, it's plenty of parking.
Welcome to Cold Pickle Nachos, a podcast not afraid to serve up the hottest takes on your Phoenix Suns. I'm Logan Mosier, and as far as you know, I have zero ties to Aspiration, Steve Ballmer, or Uncle Dennis. With me, as always, is a man with no peers, no enemies, and no hesitation arguing that Jimmer Fredette should be in the Suns' Ring of Honor. It's Ryan Walker.
Absolutely true. Get him in the ring now.
I mean, honestly, he should be in so many different Hall of Fames. The 3-on-3 Hall of Fame, he took the United States almost to like a medal. All right, I'm sorry.
There will be
with a Jimmer Fredette slander. It's going to be an episode, and I'm already making it difficult for you.
What a way to start it. There will be no Jimmer slander on this podcast.
All right, let's move on because we've got a lot to talk about, and a lot of it may be considered controversial. There, I said it. So, trigger warning. We will be addressing and, frankly, reveling in the Clippers scandal. We're not avoiding the fact that ESPN ranked the Suns dead last in the future power rankings. And you know what? We're coming for you too, Vasily Micic. We heard what you said. We didn't like it. But first, one of the perks of making zero money and having almost no followers on this podcast is there's nobody to fire us. If you say something controversial and there's no one around to hear it, was it really controversial in the first place? Yes, but we don't care. So let's kick things off with a Cold Pickle Nacho starting five on the five reasons we personally are done with PHNX Sports. Number one.
Let's do it.
Gerald Bourguette was the only reason we had left to follow their coverage at this point anyway. He provided fantastic work on the Suns, and I valued his opinions and insights. Those are gone, and there's honestly nothing left there that you can't get for free elsewhere.
Number two, they fired Lindsey Smith.
Gonna leave a little second for everyone to think about that. Number three, people are complex with nuanced opinions. So, not everyone who went on social media and demanded Gerald be fired for his complex nuanced opinions is also someone who's been complaining about cancel culture for years. But I feel confident saying a lot of them were. The hypocrisy is weak, and PHNX caving to that public pressure is weaker.
Number four, did we mention they fired Lindsey Smith?
Unacceptable. And finally, number five, PHNX parted ways with Gerald, it would at least appear, because they were afraid of losing followers. And it seems only fair to me that they still lose followers for taking the easy coward's way out instead. There, we've said it. Ryan, I'm going to be honest. I said the controversial stuff there. All you said is that they fired Lindsey Smith, and that's not cool. And I'm going to say that has 100% approval rating. And I don't want to talk to anyone who's against that. So I'm going to let you give your thoughts on everything else first.
Absolutely. To put it simply, we stand with Gerald. I think in this day and age, he stood for a lot of things that were right. And it's troubling that it cost him his job, and I just feel like heartbroken. And I gotta give a shout out to everyone who saw that there was a GoFundMe set up for Gerald and went out of their way to donate to do their part, as little as it is, to help him through this time. And that goal was reached within a day or two. And so it really speaks to, there are a lot of bad things going on in this world, but there's still some good that can be had in it.
Yeah. Not that anyone asked, and I understand there are certain people who maybe we started down this line and they have already turned us off and will never come back and are cursing our names. And quite frankly, I'm totally fine with that. I'm going to lay out how I feel. If you don't like it, then you don't like it. But I think at this point in 2025, it's important to stand by your convictions. And I'll just share where my convictions are on this in a time where Colbert is forced out, Kimmel is being forced out due to political pressure. Attacks on the First Amendment are very real, and they're coming from an administration that has championed themselves as First Amendment proponents, absolutionists even, because of cancel culture. And so I want to address kind of where I'm coming at when I talk of cancel culture, because let's look at someone like Roseanne Barr, okay? Roseanne Barr has said a lot of hateful things, and she said some racist things, and she lost her show because of it. My personal take is I'm not looking for Roseanne Barr to lose her show. I don't hear her say something racist and go, Roseanne Barr needs to lose her show. That's someone else's choice, not the government, but that's someone else's choice. But I personally can be like, I'm out on Roseanne Barr. I don't support racists, especially ones that are fairly unapologetic about it. I don't wish ill will on those people. I very much do not wish violence on those people. And I think we can be very sad and concerned and upset about the situation of the world and stand by every rational human being who's going, no, I do not want someone whose difference of opinion is out there to get shot and killed for those beliefs. But that is different than asking me to be specifically upset about that person or to lionize that person in their death. What you are in life and what you were in life does not change after you die. And so if my opinion about someone is what it is, them dying does not change that opinion. I do not revere Martin Luther King Jr. because he was assassinated. I revere him for the work that he did and the thoughts that he espoused and the things that he stood for. And I think when your reaction to when someone does not like, when you don't like what someone has said, is to go and to try to get that person fired, I think that's rough in any way. And I think it's particularly rough here because I think a lot of the nuance in what Gerald tweeted was lost by a lot of the people who were upset by it. So I think we should look at the tweet, and I'll go on record as how I feel about it. If you're fine going on record as how you feel about it.
Absolutely.
All right. So it's still up, which I respect. Political differences, in quotes, are not the same thing as spewing hateful rhetoric on a daily basis, and refusing to mourn a life devoted to that cause is not the same thing as celebrating gun violence, just so we're 100% clear on that. I see nothing I disagree with here, and I really would like to highlight the verbiage refusing to mourn a life, because I saw a lot of comments that were like, why are you celebrating his death? And I don't want to fully speak for Gerald, but I think that his tweet does that. He is not celebrating this death. I'm not celebrating his death. I've seen very few people celebrating Charlie Kirk's death, but that is different than not mourning. I would ask people question how much time they've spent mourning the countless children who have been murdered at schools. There was a school shooting that same day that got very little coverage because we were focusing on this man. Okay. There is a difference between going, I'm glad this happened. I support that this happened. I think that what this 22-year-old deranged person with a gun did is okay. And I am not going to lose sleep specifically over a person who I felt stood for hatred.
Yep.
Next tweet, he was a father. Half of y'all did not give a damn about doing anything to stop gun violence when the victims of mass shootings were literal children. And those kids weren't bigots spreading genocidal propaganda or a mindset he directly fed into with his holy grail of ironies. He has a quote from Charlie Kirk there. At this point, I would say, I think that this tweet goes a little farther than I would go in the characterization, but it's certainly nothing that is a fireable offense. And the focus here is on literal children. Weren't bigots spreading genocidal propaganda? I mean, listen, he was spreading genocidal propaganda. And he was a bigot. So there we go.
Sure. Absolutely. And the thing about it is that, like you said, you know, maybe you would not go as far as he did, but that doesn't make his comments fireable when he's speaking reality.
If you're saddened by today's political violence, horrified by the video, or repulsed by my response, ask yourself why your reaction was different when it came to school shootings, mass deportations, or the hundreds of videos, horrific murders in Gaza, which Kirk cheered on. I will say I was saddened by the political violence. I was horrified by the video, but I was not repulsed by Gerald's response. And I find it absolutely abhorrent how we react to school shootings in this country, mass deportations, and the hundreds of videos of horrific murders in Gaza.
Simply speaking, that Gerald spoke out and he got fired for it. And he didn't celebrate the violence. He didn't do any of that. He just was fired because of perception.
I'll say the last thing he said, which is, truly don't care if you think it's insensitive or poor timing to decline to respect an evil man who died. Too many of you are more concerned with being polite and appearing to be good people rather than showing some damn backbone and standing on principle to condemn hate. And I think that's primarily what his message here was condemning the hate that Charlie Kirk spoke. I also condemn that. You know, drawing attention to all the horrible, horrible things that are happening that do not get a fraction of the response that this got. And I'll say it one more time. I don't condone political violence. I don't celebrate that a man died. But I do think that the hyper focus on it is not equal to the reality of who he was and who he stood for. I think like 25 plus NFL teams had moments of silence in their stadium. And I'm sorry, that's, to me, that is reminiscent of 1984, where we change the narrative on something. You know, if you supported what Charlie Kirk said before, then you can still support what he said in his passing. We have a strong disagreement on that. But the idea that because someone was taken out by a horrific action, it makes them absolved of who they were, what they stood for, to me is absurd. And I will go on record as saying that because I think we live in a time where if you are not going on the record for certain things, many of which Gerald mentioned in his tweet, that the genocide in Gaza is horrific, that school shootings happening over and over again and us doing nothing about gun violence is horrific and indefensible. Mass deportations and what we're doing with ICE. Listen, if me saying that all of those things are horrible makes you think I'm a bad person or makes you disregard who I am and what I stand for, I gladly accept that. Because I do not respect your take on that.
Absolutely.
And I do not respect PHNX for firing Gerald. But I will say, this should not change who we are. And here at Cold Pickle Nachos, we play fun games. So we are going to transition to a fun game. It's called Sun Devil's Advocate. This is where Ryan and I come up with reasons to support something we don't support. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back and forth with reasons to still follow PHNX's Suns coverage until we run out of reasons. First one who can't come up with something loses. Ryan, go first. What's a reason to still follow PHNX?
A reason to still follow PHNX is there is a chance that I'm going to lose.
Great news for you, Ryan. I have great news for you. It's a tie because I got nothing either.
I racked my brain and I thought of all the possibilities and I can't think of a single one that says, hey, this is a thing.
All right, let's move on to something even darker.
Oh boy.
ESPN came out with their weekly future power rankings, and the Suns finished 30 out of 30 dead last. Let's take a look at how they categorize it and see where we agree and where we disagree. Sound like fun?
Let's do it.
All right, so they categorize them in five areas by players, money, draft, market, and management. In the players category, they ranked the Suns at 26. Fair? Unfair?
I think it's unfair.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it comes down to we have Devin Booker and you don't. I think Booker is undervalued coming off of a rough year or two, which... Listen, it's been a really rough couple of years for the Suns, and so his stock has taken a bit of a dip. I still believe in him. I still think he has top 10 player in the NBA upside, and they have some nice young players. I agree. I think we should be rated higher than 26 here.
Yep.
Money, they have us at 22. How do you feel about that?
Well, this is again where they... And I say they with quotations speak on both sides of their mouth, because last year they ranked the Suns, you know, how can they spend so much money? They're so crazy. What a crazy, crazy thing. And the Suns do everything they can to get out of that and to actually get in a reasonable future money standpoint, and all they want to say is, but they paid Devin Booker $75 million for 2 years, so they really haven't learned their lesson. It's like, I can't with these people.
Okay, I'm actually, maybe I'm going to be one of these people, sorry. I think 22 is about right, and I'll say the two reasons I have for that. Ishbia having a lot of money doesn't really help that much. We'll get to Ballmer in a second. And I would have us this low just off of the fact that we are paying roughly $20 million a year to Beal for several more years. It's not even on the team. That alone would make me have us kind of low in this category.
Okay. Well, agree to disagree there.
Not to be one of those people. The draft... They have us ranked 30th. I find it hard to argue with that. We might be 29 after some penalties on a certain Kawhi investigation.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the draft, you're hoping that you get a wild card like Devin Booker, or we have guy. Let's see where we go from here.
We don't really have a path to have the 13th pick of the draft for a long time either, though.
Well, for like 3 more years, but then we start to get back to it.
Isn't it like 2030 before we can get anything other than something that's been like, you know, goes through multiple trade swaps?
You might be right, but it's one of those things where it's like, yes, but it's not like they don't have draft picks. They'll have picks every other year, and maybe they're at the end of the draft, but I'm fine with it.
Market, they have us number 6. How do you feel about that?
Maybe a little high, but I'm good with it.
You know, when I play a dynasty on NBA 2K, I like to have a team where if I won a championship, it means a lot. And I'm thinking 6 is fair just off the idea that a championship in Phoenix is worth 3 in Golden State.
That is 100% true. Great point.
And then finally, management, they have us ranked 28th.
This I could not disagree with more.
Okay.
I think the fact is they have us that low because of the history, which, let's be real, just taking for example, during the draft, our GM took a couple of late second rounders and figured out a way to make multiple moves to get the number one pick in the second round and the number one pick on everyone's board.
I don't have qualms really with the moves that they've made, but it's easy as like a Homer fan not to. Let's see how they work out. I do think you have to factor in history, and then also like Phoenix Suns management has been lawsuit city, both before Ishbia and after Ishbia. So I think that has to factor in too. I don't have a huge problem with 28.
Okay. Agree to disagree there too.
All right. we agree on a very big thing and disagree on some small things. I'm good with that, Ryan. Let's look at the teams above us real quick. And noting that, you know, we're Homer Suns fans and it's going to mean something to be the Suns. Would you trade management, ownership, location, but you live there, let's say, and all the players and future assets and everything with these teams? Number 29, the Pelicans.
No.
Heck no. I'm not tying my future to Zion. 28, Bulls.
Easy hard pass.
Agreed. The Nets.
No. But I do recognize that the Nets have some pieces that could work. But the fact that
30 first rounders on their offense and not a single one I'm that excited about. Sorry.
Yeah, like I was going to say, like the fact that they took 5 first round picks and everyone's like, meh, I don't have a good feel for their future.
Number 26, the Wizards.
No. Hell no.
Number 25, the Kings.
Nope.
24, the Jazz.
They have a couple of nice pieces, but no.
Yeah, you're also thinking of Danny Ainge right now, aren't you? I think Danny Ainge has been overrated. It's like, don't trade with Danny Ainge. It's like, have the Jazz really done anything since he's been there?
It's because nobody wants to trade with Danny Ainge.
Hornets. Trick question, we already are the Hornets. 22, Blazers.
Blazers are starting to get to a point where I'm like, okay, like I can see a path for the Blazers moving
honestly
forward.
Just so I can root for Temani Kamara again. 21, Bucks have Giannis, but they have a lot of problems.
They're in the same situation as us. Why are they so much higher?
Well, I love Devin Booker. If one thing I said in this podcast comes back to bite me, it's going to be this. Giannis is a better player than Devin Booker.
How dare you, sir.
Number 20, Raptors. No.
No. No.
1960s.
Unless the NBA gives the Raptors all of the Clippers picks for their punishment. No.
19 Sixers. I don't want to be a part of that Embiid situation.
Nope.
Then we hit 18, and I think this is where we're like, okay, everything from here on up, I think we don't really have an argument. And that's when you get to the Pistons. We would trade places with the Pistons.
Absolutely. Right now, yes. And then
from there on, it's all kind of no-brainer. But
yeah.
You know, that's our purple and orange colored glasses take on the Suns not being the worst future, not having the worst future in the NBA.
They've changed a lot of the roster. They've gotten more defensive. All of these things that made the Suns problematic over the last 2 years, they have actively changed.
Good vibes can go a long way. And this is not a team devoid of talent. I think a team that where everyone is happy in their position and their role means a lot. And I don't think that was true of the last two Suns teams. I think Devin Booker can flourish as a clear number one. I think Jalen Green has a chance to surprise as a clear number two option. I don't think there's like players who are going to be like upset with their standing that really matter in the grand scheme of things. And that tends to create good vibes, low expectations relative to the talent. I'll say the only thing that really has me nervous is just the West is so stacked. Like the Suns have a lot of talent, but do they have a lot of talent relative to the average Western Conference team? I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. I would feel more bold in predicting a surprisingly good season if they were in the Eastern Conference. I still think they're being underestimated.
And the thing about it is the Suns have a lot to root for this year, from young players to developing chemistry to doing what they struggled with most, which is having a center, actually an NBA center. Now they have two. Obviously, young Dikembe is going to take some. Four? Yeah, and young Dikembe is going to take some time. We're not saying that. And again, I understand if you want to say it could be a rough year and they get the 13 seed. And I just think that
there's absolutely a path to as high as six. Realistically, like if I were just like guessing, I'm expecting the Suns to be a play-in team. I would be surprised if they're not a play-in team.
Yep, absolutely.
Either above that or below that.
Absolutely. I think 7 through 10 feels right. And for everyone that says there's no chance of that happening, okay, good. Thanks for giving us that, because we got all the flowers the last 2 years, and that sucked.
I agree. Transitioning, you know who was not on that list on the worst future power rankings was the Clippers. But Pablo Torres is working to change that. I don't want to go
my deep boy.
I don't want to go deep into it, but there's new information almost every day about how the Clippers seemingly have tried to circumvent the salary cap to get extra money to Kawhi Leonard through a no-work endorsement via a scam company called Aspiration. Uncle Dennis apparently asked for extras beyond the salary cap from multiple teams, including the Lakers and the Raptors, and the Clippers may have been the team to bite. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the Pablo investigation and the Clippers' actions and potential guilt or innocence?
Right. So first, I want to just clarify a couple of things. When you talk about Uncle Dennis asking for perks, one of the things that has been confirmed by multiple sources is in order to stay in Toronto, he wanted a 10% stake in the Maple Leafs, which is about as funny as like anything. Like, that is hilarious. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Michael Scott. And I think that Uncle Dennis is just...
isn't it Wayne Gretzky and then Michael Scott?
Yes, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. Yes, I skipped to the end there. But
and if you're Kawhi, you miss a lot of those shots because you're not playing because you're always injured.
But he's going to ask. And the thing about it is that it is ultimately the team's responsibility not to break the rules. And the more things that come out, the first thing that came out, what does Ballmer do? He goes to Ramona Shelbourne, who is in his pocket as an LA reporter, and has this cupcake interview denying everything. And then it comes out, oh, you can't deny it because they have bank records. And then it comes out, oh, the times that he actually needed it, Ballmer directly through one of his other owners, LLC, transferred money and did all of this thing. So if you're claiming you're scamming, how does it make any sense that if you were being scammed, the scammers are giving money to Kawhi? Isn't the whole point of scamming to take the money?
Well, no, that's where you're wrong, because I happen to know of scams. What they'll do is they will like establish a trust, right? So like they'll send you a little bit of money so that you know they're legit, and that way you send them more. So what Aspiration was probably doing, and they just didn't get a chance to get to it, was taking tens of millions of dollars or giving tens of millions of dollars so that eventually billions and billions will come back to them. That's the end of the scam.
And not a single tree was planted.
Here's the question. If the whole thing is that it was a no work endorsement from Kawhi, is his time with the Clippers also a no work contract?
I see what you did there. Yeah, I mean, he is. He absolutely is. I think the further evidence and the more things that come out, the more Ballmer loses all ways to say that he didn't know about this or to claim, you know, plausible deniability. And if he can't claim that, if it comes out that he directed his resources to circumvent the cap and they have bank statements, I don't see how the other owners are like, okay, that's fine, no big deal.
Well, you clearly have not been paying attention. You've not been paying attention to the several War and Peace length tweets from Mark Cuban, who is not a fellow owner, but boy, the man doth protest too much, methinks.
Okay, Cuban, what part he plays in all this?
Oh my goodness. I don't have the time or energy to accurately reflect what Mark Cuban is saying. Because I am gainfully employed. I just know all of it did not smell right.
Yes. So,
and that's, you know what, honestly, that is unfair to Mark Cuban. I will say that is unfair to Mark Cuban, because I hate it when people are like, congratulations on that, or I'm sorry that happened to you, but I'm not reading all of that. I hate it when people do that, but Mark Cuban got me there.
The too long didn't read. Essentially, Cuban went to the same playbook he went when they were negotiating the CBA in 2016, which was, we do not want people hunting around in skeletons in all of our closets. So therefore, we all need to band together as billionaires and prevent that from happening. That's
the billionaire brigade.
In a nutshell. Yeah, that, in a nutshell, that's what Cuban is saying, is providing all the reasons why Ballmer shouldn't be held responsible. Because one day, I think it's pretty clear, Mark Cuban's name is going to come up as being wrapped up in all of this. And it will become very clear to everyone why he was trying to get ahead of it immediately.
I guess here's my point. It looks like a duck. It quacks like a duck. And Mark Cuban has gone out of his way to give us millions of words on why it is a chicken.
Yes, exactly. That is in a nutshell.
I would like to point out one other thing. Anything short of the NBA's version of the death penalty is unacceptable to me, given that we lost a draft pick over Drew Eubanks.
And that needs to be said, that the NBA has a history of punishing teams that do minor infractions. Like, what was it? We called him like 20 minutes before the official midnight clock hit for free agency.
Oh, like, is that what that happened? I thought they were punishing us for thinking that he should be on an NBA roster.
Well, hindsight, yes. But, I mean, it's like, it's so punitive that if it comes out that they can prove these things, and let's be clear, the NBA has gone out of its way to try to distance themselves from it and basically say, oh, we don't think that it's that big a deal. Let's not jump to conclusions. They do not want to impose any severe penalty. And I think anyone hoping they do is going to be sadly disappointed.
All right, transitioning from one rich owner to the next, I've titled this section Positive Matt Ishbia Thoughts. But I do think it's worth saying that in my head, I obviously don't fully believe that, because what I actually typed was positive Robert Sarver thoughts. They did not distinguish themselves.
Oh boy.
To me, apparently, to my subconscious. But I do have two positive Matt Ishbia related things.
Okay.
They extended the free TV for Suns and Mercury games. And I think that's great. And I really appreciate it.
Okay. That's nice.
I mean, it doesn't mean you not being in Arizona right now, but.
Yeah. That affects me zero.
Listen, I signed up for Hulu Live specifically to watch the Suns. And then that fell through almost immediately after I signed up. So I switched to YouTube TV to watch the Suns. And then that didn't work out because they dropped the providers for it. And so it's been really hard. And if I were with a fan of most NBA organizations, I would be just out of luck. But instead, I get to see most games because they're free on TV. And, you know, I appreciate that.
And I got to hand it to Matt. Like, the Suns, this is a basketball town, and he recognized that, and the revenue he could generate by, I mean, we all love Colangelo. We all loved him, and I don't know how much of this you remember, but remember when they used to put all the big games on pay-per-view?
Oh my God.
It was like every big game, you had to order pay-per-view to watch the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So at least things have changed a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of positive changes, if you're still listening to this podcast, you're probably more receptive to my next thing, which is I just want to geek out for a second on the Mercury. Been following them all season. Was very worried that their season would end in the first round because there's five incredible teams in the WNBA this year, and they were the fourth seed, so they had to face the defending champions, a loaded New York Liberty team. And they came through and they won. They lost the first game in overtime. They blew out the Liberty in game two, and they held on with an impressive victory in game three. That is a team built right. That's a big three where everyone fits together. Alyssa Thomas is a revelation, a walking triple-double, an incredible player who's been, I think it's 4 years straight, maybe five, where she's been top five in WNBA MVP voting. And she's definitely going to be top five this year. Just an incredible player. Satu Sabally, 6'4", unicorn, with a lot of guard skills. Really cool compliment to Thomas. I love KFC, Kalia Copper, Kalia Effin Copper, who had the game clincher, which look up the highlight, incredible shot. Just a great player. And then to get Dawana Bonner midseason, she hit like a huge shot, which I also want to say we were facing the Liberty, who are coached by Sandy Brondello, who quite frankly drove me insane when she was coaching for the Mercury. I've been pretty happy with Nate Tibbetts, even down to we had 2 seconds left on the shot clock on an inbound play. And I was like, I know Bonner's not one of our big three, but that's who you need to get the ball to because that's someone who could hit a weird off-balance shot. And what do you know? That's exactly what he drew up. Bonner came through. Very exciting. And then, you know, it's a team that also just like all the role players fit really well. Akoa Makani has been an incredible rookie point guard for them. Another great move that Tibbetts had is he played the veteran instead, and Sammy Whitcomb, who hit some incredible shots, a couple of threes that were just really awesome. Westbeld's a good three-point shooter. Mac does the dirty work. And even the players that didn't get in, like Held and Brown, and it's a really fun team. Loxa, Williams, just everyone plays their part. They came together. They're kind of what you would hope that the Suns could become one of these days. I know, you know, nobody is getting Asia Wilson because they're also funneling $50 million to her on the side. So maybe it's not as competitive on building a team that's this good. But it gives me some hope that Ishbia is involved in a team that is doing so well. And that is just a really fun team to watch. Highly recommend checking that out. Unfortunately, their first game against the Lynx, best team in the WNBA all year, Nafisha Collier is insane. So it's going to be a tough battle. Unfortunately, the first game in that series is at 1:30 on Sunday. So it's opposite the Arizona Cardinals. Hate that. I know the scheduling is horrible. Like, why? But that should be a fun series. And then they'd almost definitely face the Aces in the finals if they can get past the Lynx. So it's a murderer's row. Like I said, there were five incredible teams this year, and that was with Caitlin Clark being out. I don't know why I'm on a first name basis with a player on the Fever, but you knew who I was talking about. She's out for the year, as is Sophie Cunningham, and the Fever still managed to get to the semifinals. And I wasn't even including them in those five teams. So just really, I think we're in the golden age of the WNBA, and the Mercury are a big part of that. So this is just me geeking out about the Mercury real quick. It's not a Mercury podcast.
Sure.
One of those future, but one positive thing in the past week in sports is that
that's a lot of fun. That's awesome. And so is there next round? Is it going to be the best out of five?
I believe it's you know, I'm a little embarrassed to say I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's out of three, best out of three, and then best. It might have been changed to best out of five and best out of seven. The thing with the WNBA is they change their rules constantly. So
got it. Okay.
Like the playoffs have been different significantly over the last few years. Let me see if I can find that in like 2 seconds here. Semifinals are okay. Yeah, they did change it to the best of five and then best of seven. So that's exciting.
Okay, great.
So it goes best of three, best of five, best of seven, which I think is a new format. But yeah, the team's exciting and a lot of fun to watch. A lot of really good 3-point shooters, and Thomas is the engine that makes it happen. So.
Time to tune in. I will definitely be watching the Mercury. You have sold me.
And they all get paid way less than Vasily Micic. That's right. I told you it was coming. Who literally, he did a little interview and really pissed me off twice because he was like, yeah. And then the coach tried to put me in at the end of the game. And I was like, do I got a coach? And he was like, nah, you're fine. Like, how many millions of dollars do you get to like not even come into the game? And then you have opinions like Durant didn't get enough focus, or I mean, I don't want to hear from this guy. There, I said it.
The answer to your question.
Shut up and dribble. I know.
The answer to your question is 8 million. He got paid 8 million last year.
Yeah.
To average less than 2 points a game. Really winner player. And because the Suns didn't bring him back, he felt the need to really twist the knife to... I really don't know anybody who is listening to him and going, he makes a good point, other than ESPN pundits. I assume they...
You know what? I'm going to say it. I'm not a fan. And if you want to cancel me for that, cancel me for that. But that's what I want you to take out of this podcast, is that I don't want to listen to any more Micic interviews. So there. That's it for this charming and demure episode of Cold Pickle Nachos. Tune in next time when we can hopefully talk mainly about basketball. Until then, peace out, homies.
Peace out, homies.